thank God. David, King David began to praise God. And his wife said, well, you don't act very much dignified. What are you doing? What are you doing to yourself? You know, the people in the day of Pentecost, they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost came. And they thought that those folks, they didn't understand where they were at. They supposed that they had been drunk. But Peter stood up and said, they are not drunk as ye suppose. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God one more time. I want to thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to thank the Lord for being the head of my life. I want to thank God for this church, Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. You may think that this church, I'm talking about the bricks, the roof, the flooring, the carpet. No. I mean, that's a good thing. We thank God for that. But I thank God for you all, Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. Amen. I want to thank God for you all. I want to thank God for our dynamic pastor who is no longer district elder. Am I right? Can I say it? See, he said, look at how modest he is. He's like, supplicant bishop elect, Johnny Magnus. Let's thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is a good God. Look at what the Lord is doing around here. And thank God for First Lady as well. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at what the Lord is doing around here. I want to thank God also for my wife and her presence today. I want to thank God for the kids here today. God bless you. And I want to thank God for all of you. And then for without you, I guess I wouldn't have a job around here. Y'all keep me busy. But I want to thank God for your goodness and your mercy. For his goodness and his mercy. Just thank God for being in your presence today. If you wouldn't mind turning with me, I believe First Lady already read it in Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. We just want to talk a little bit about what the Lord is doing around here. And the secret, yes, there is a sort of secret, quote unquote, the secret to our praise is it just doesn't start right here. We've been praising God all week long. Amen. The secret to our worship is it just doesn't start right here. It goes on and it continues all week long. So when you see us on Facebook, when you see us in this sanctuary, everything is not orchestrated. Although we like to be decent and in order, we have a certain order. But when the Spirit of God takes control, we follow after the Spirit. Amen? We follow after Him. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. And hopefully this Spirit that you feel will direct you, will dwell inside of you, will guide you throughout the week. In Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse number 1, just a little bit of context. Well, I might just go ahead and read it right now. In Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. My message this morning is come up hither. Come up hither. I know that many people may not use that terminology, hither. All the hither is another word. It's another word for here. Come up here. Come up here. What's happening is when you read in the book of Revelation, we have John. Now, it's debatable. Some believe that it was, there are two different Johns, and it's debatable on which John it was. But we do know that he must have been an apostle because he has the authority to write scripture, and the scripture is received text. And he was exiled to the island of Patmos. And when you are exiled, that means that is a punishment that has been given to you. And so he was sent to the Isle of Patmos. And as he was on the Isle of Patmos, God spoke to him. And God used an angel to speak to him. God gave him a vision. But what I love about this vision that John had is God spoke through an angel. And the angel began to share this with John, but John is supposed to share this or send this message to the seven churches that are during this particular time. Now, again, these churches also can represent us as well, but these were actual churches during that particular time. What I love about this is as John was receiving this, he is writing down what the Lord is giving him. So there is something special about this word. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So in order for John to receive something from God, he has to be in a certain place. In order for us to receive something from God, we are called to be in a certain place first. Now God can do whatever he wants to do, but if we want to be used by God, we have to be where the Lord wants us to be. We have to do what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord just doesn't want half of you or half of us.
All right.
The Lord wants all of us. Amen. There's that song, I Surrender All. And we talked in Sunday school about if we were houses, as we are houses, if we wanted to use that analogy, the Lord wants to be the Lord of every room.
Right.
And I continually am challenged because I'm finding more rooms in my house that I'm like, you know what? I need to declare this room. Lord, have control of this room. Have control of that room. So in the spirit, I'm continually finding more rooms in my house that I have to allow the Lord to be the Lord of. Just when I think I've reached the point in my spirituality, the Lord says, come up hither. I want you to come up here. You don't have to stay down there any longer. You don't have to stay where you're at. You can come up to the Word of God. And we're in this dilemma today. Many believe the Bible is like a natural book that you just read from beginning to end, and then once you're done, that's it. I've already read the book. I've already understand. There's nothing else to receive. Oh, no. This is just the beginning. It's time to come up hither. And that's what the Lord is saying today. I want you to come up higher. I want you to get closer to me. I want you to seek me. I want you to look for me. I want to inhabit every room. And so that's what the Lord is saying.
All right.
Well, let me just keep reading here, and then we got one more scripture to look at. But this is John. Again, John is writing chapter number 4, and I know I'm reading this over. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So John is seeing a vision. John is in a vision. He's actually seeing a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now many believe that at this sequence in Revelation, that this he's about to see the effects of the rapture of the church or the catching away of the church. Now, I don't know too much about that, but what I do know is that the Lord was calling him to be in a higher place than where he was. In order for him to actually follow after where the Lord is leading him, he has to be able to hear the Lord. Now, over and over in Revelation, what we see a saying over and over again, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the problem isn't God speaking to us. Oh, Lord, if you'll just give me a sign, if you'll just make yourself known. No, the Lord don't have to do anything else. He's already made himself known. He's speaking loud and clear. The problem is our hearing. And I'm not talking about our natural ears. I'm talking about our spiritual ears. Are you hearing what the Lord is saying to you and I today? I want you to come up higher than where you are. I want you to come up to me. I want you to come up hither. I want you to put forth some effort. I want you to become closer to me. In the book of James, and I'm not going to quote the whole scripture, but it talks about draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you're looking in the image of a mirror, I'm not just going to go walk into the room and in the morning, I like to make sure I'm together. Make sure that I'm not looking just like anything, right? So if I'm standing in the mirror, I'm not just going to go ahead halfway across the room. Hey, I think I look okay over here. No, I've got to come a little bit closer. I've got to see what's going on. Hopefully not too much. Get myself together. Well, this is our mirror of the Word of God. And we need to look and examine ourselves. Now, last week we had a communion. And we ate all, and when we were given our portion of the communion, we were given instructions to eat it. We didn't eat half of that thing, the half of that cracker, half of the Lord's body. We ate the whole thing, the whole portion that God has given us. And as we began to consume the wafer, the cracker that we were eating, it had to be broken. And that is what happened to the body of Jesus Christ for our sake. He suffered. Sometimes it's easy to talk about his crucifixion as if it is something that is non-relatable to us. No. He suffered for you and he suffered for me. Jesus Christ actually died for you and I so that we could live. Amen. And when we partook in that communion last week, we took of the cracker, we took of his body, we ate it, and then we took of his blood, which is his blood in the New Testament. And I didn't just drink half of it. I drank it all. So we are partakers with him now. We are, we should have his mind. We are in his spirit. We are in his body. We are the body of Christ. The Lord wants all of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
In
verse number 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. We only serve one God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. One God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I think, it's good to say I serve one God, but it's also even better to know the God that we serve. Some of us like to argue with a lot of people who believe differently than us just because they believe differently than us, and we don't actually know the personality of the one that we serve. You need to know Jesus for yourself.
Yes.
Moses, when he was speaking to God, and God was speaking to him, and the Lord told him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Moses needed to know God for himself. It's not enough for God to be the God of your mom, of your mother, of your father, of your sister, and your brother. God wants to be your Lord. Jesus wants to be your Lord. But my mother, it's all good to talk about my mother's testimony and the deacon's testimony and Brother Pope's testimony and Sister Pope's testimony and elder's testimony and suffragan bishop's testimony. But what about your testimony? Where is our testimony? Today could be the first day of the rest of your life, in a sense, spiritually. God can bless you. Come up hither.
Yes, he does.
In Psalms, the 61st division, I should say, of Psalms, Psalm 61, in verse number 1. Let's read that. Oh, I think I meant, maybe gave you the wrong one, Deacon. I'm probably talking about Psalm 62. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, well, there it is. It is Psalm 61, verse number 2. My apologies. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Yes.
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. King David acknowledged that there was a place, that there was an actual rock, that there was a place that he had not yet attained. He had not yet climbed, that he was willing to go. Lord, if you lead me, see, the Lord has to lead us to that rock. Sometimes we try to do it by ourselves, and that's not going to work. That never works. The Bible says and acknowledges our righteousness is as filthy rags, which lets me know that even at my best, I still come up short. Even at my best, it's not enough. So I need the Lord to sustain me.
Yes.
I need something from the Lord. The Lord wants us to come up to the Word of God.
Yes. Right.
We're too busy being upset at what the preacher preaches, or we're upset at what's going on. Instead, you need to look at the one who's saying it, the one who's presenting it. Don't get mad at the mailman because you got a bill. Instead, we need to understand, well, wait a minute, I have to get this right with the bill collector. I have to make some calls. I have to make a payment plan. I've got to get some things together. But instead, we're living in a world where the world is mad at the mailman. How dare you give me that piece of mail? How dare, well, your name is on it. I just came in. But how dare you get away from here? That's what people are doing right now because they don't want the Word of God. But the Word of God is pure by all itself. Hallelujah. The Word of God will clean you. The Word of God, Jesus will use you. Jesus is real. He will clean you thoroughly. He doesn't make mistakes. Jesus Christ will save you to the utmost. Hallelujah. He'll clean you. He died for our sins. He took his own life. He took his life on that cross. He took that life because he sacrificed his life for you and I. Now we have a life of righteousness. And the righteousness that I have in my life is not my own, but it belongs to him. Everything that I am, everything that I do, everything that I say should represent Jesus. When you see me, you see Jesus, because the Bible says that I'm his child. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had to repent of my sins. I had to be baptized in his name. I had to receive his spirit. And now we walk after the spirit. So when you see me, when you see the works that I do, it's Jesus all the way. Hallelujah. Now some people will be mad because they don't like what they see. But when you are mad, realize you're just mad with Jesus. Jesus said if they're mad with me, they're going to be mad with you. If they don't like me, they're not going to like you. Don't take it personal in the gospel. Some of us take it too personal in the church. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. Come up to the rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Come up hither. I want you to come up closer. I want to know you. I want you to know me. Come up higher. I want you to come up higher. I invite you to come up to the Word of God. But Brother Pope, I'm not to the Word of God yet, and I don't feel comfortable yet. Now when you get into church, you can wave your hands, but I can't do that. I don't feel comfortable. Well, why not ask God for the Spirit? Why not ask God for the Holy Ghost? And when the Lord fills you with the Holy Ghost, you can't even put your hands down because you are so, hallelujah, you're so comfortable and relational to the Spirit of God that God is going to lead you to praise him. God is going to lead you to worship him. But we can't worship God the way that he wants while we're in sin. We're living in a sin-sick world. I know many people, they get mad. You got people mad about issues. You got the Democrats and Republicans, just like the Crips and the Bloods. They're at each other's throats. They're ready to kill one another. And they talk about one another. And if you're not careful, you'll be washed up in the fold. And you'll be doing the same thing. And you'll be outside the will of God. Come up hither. Stop that foolishness. It's time to receive the gospel. But you say, I'm apostolic. Apostolic born and apostolic bred. And when I die, I'll be apostolic dead. But you can be apostolic and still go to hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, praise Jesus. What are you talking about, Brother Pope? You can be apostolic and still be on your way to hell. Get your soul right with Jesus. He wants all of you. He wants to inhabit all of you. He wants your mind. He wants you to think about the things that he would think about. He wants you to think about him. He wants you to think about his word. He wants your mind. He wants your interest. Are you interested in Jesus? He wants your soul. He created your soul. He wants to inhabit our souls. He wants all of you. He wants your heart. What are you passionate about? Jesus wants to occupy that seat in your life, in your house. He wants to inhabit all of us. Are we willing to make that decision?
All right.
Come up hither. Come up hither. I have to be careful as an apostolic minister not to be washed away with all of the dogma. There are certain scriptures that I can tout against people who believe differently than I. And I could use my Bible and I could use certain scriptures and certain stances as a mascot. And when I do that, I'm not really doing the will of God.
Right.
Because I'm doing it with the wrong spirit. For example, when the Lord saved me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, when I fast, I'm not just fasting to win an argument.
Amen.
There are many people who will try to argue with you, and they know the scriptures too, and they don't believe just like us. Are we trying to fast just to win an argument? Are we trying to fast so their soul can be saved? Are we trying to fast so we can get closer to the Lord? What are we doing? What are we doing with our spiritual lives? What are we doing? Are we worshiping God? Are we seeking his face?
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord. If you're with us today and you've heard this message and you've decided, you know what? I want to come up hither. I want to get closer to the Lord. Lord, I want you to lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I realize that I'm in a place in my life that I'm not satisfied. I need something extra. I need to be closer to you. This message is for you. The Lord wants you to come up hither. Come up closer to where I'm at. Come up closer to me. Now, I can't give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't have that power. But the Bible says that Jesus, who is the Holy Ghost, he will bless you. We can pray with you. We can pray against distractions in your life so that you can properly repent and turn aside from the works of the flesh. We can baptize you in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, the Lord can forgive you today. I can't give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't have that power. But the Bible says that Jesus, who is the Holy Ghost, he will bless you. We can pray with you. We can pray against distractions in your life so that you can properly repent and turn aside from the works of the flesh. We can baptize you in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, the Lord can forgive you.